Tasyam sandaya manayam.
Tasyam sandaya manayam.
Sapaula saparijjala.
Sapaula saparijjala.
Kautundika kutumbinya.
Kautundika kutumbinya.
Upatapyatta sambaya.
Upatapyatta sambaya.
Tasyam sandaya manayam.
Tasyam sandaya.
Kautumbika kutumbinya,
kautumbika kutumbinya,
upatapyatta sambaya,
upatapyatta sambaya,
tasyam sandaya manayam,
tasyam sandaya manayam,
sapaula saparicchada,
sapaula saparicchada,
kautumbika kutumbinya.
If you like to repeat,
When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants
of the king,
as well as all family members, sons,
grandsons,
wives,
and
other relatives,
were
within the fire.
King Puranjana
thus became very unhappy. There are many parts of the body, the senses, the limbs, the skin, the muscles, blood, marrow, etc. And all these are considered here figuratively as sons, grandsons, citizens, and attendants. When the body is attacked by the Vishnu Jwala, the fiery condition becomes so acute that sometimes one remains in a coma. This means that the body is in such severe pain that one becomes unconscious and cannot feel the miseries taking place within the body. Indeed, the living entity becomes so helpless at the time of death that, although unwilling, he is forced to give up the body and enter another. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated that man may, by scientific advancement, improve the temporary living conditions, but that he cannot avoid the pangs of birth, old age, disease, and death. These are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. A foolish person cannot understand this simple fact. Now, people are very busy trying to find petroleum in the midst of the ocean. You may have heard of this big, how do you call it? The
big
spill. Big spill, yes. All over the ocean, near the American coast.
Mexican Gulf.
Anyway, this is the result of the petroleum. Now people are very busy trying to find petroleum in the midst of the ocean. They are very anxious to make provisions for the future petroleum supply. But they do not make any attempts to ameliorate the conditions of birth, old age, disease, and death. Thus, a person in ignorance, not knowing anything about his own future life, is certainly defeated in all his activities. Tasyam sandhayamanayam sapaura saparichala katam kautumbika kundinja upatapyata sambhaya. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Puranjana thus became very unhappy. Mukham karoti vachyanam pamulam vayate girim Yakripatamaham Vande, Shri Gurundi Nataranam, Paramananda Madhavam, Tam Srimad Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vande, Jagat Gurum, Yasyam Kampaya Shvapi, Mahapti Santarit Sukham. So, all these family members, sons, grandsons, relatives, mentioned in today's verse. These were the close members, family members of King Puranjana. They are compared to the different senses and limbs of the body. And the idea is that the city, Puranjana, is the living entity who lives within the city of the body. Navatware Pure Dehi, the Bhagavad Gita states that this body has 9 gates. And we are the living being, the soul is living. It's supposed to live happily within the body, but it doesn't happen that always is happy. Sometimes he is happy, sometimes he is unhappy, depending on the conditions of the body. This is the nature of the material world. There is duality. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, youth and old age. And here we are coming to the end of the old age. There are different stages of life. There is the beginning of the old age, like recently we were discussing, how, for example, when someone is in the 40s, he is in the old age of the youth.
Youthful old age.
So then when later on, when one becomes 50, he is in the youth of the old age. Well, I don't think that. Even if it's a bit Spanish, I didn't understand what I mean. So it's the youth of the youth of the old age. Even if we don't like technology. But Srila Prabhupada says that when we become 50, we should remember that we have received the first notification of death. That means like sometimes it happens when someone is not paying the bill for the electricity, then they get a note from the company. If you don't pay, we're going to cut you off. Isn't it? We will cut you off unless you pay by such and such day. The difference in this case is that even if you pay, no matter how much you pay, you are going to be cut off. This is the nature of this material body. Fortunately, the soul does not die, so there is no problem. The soul will remain always eternally alive. But because we intend to make the life in this body eternal, that's the problem. That we do not understand what is the real life. And we're going to be cut off. So here it is mentioned, we're coming to the old age of the old age. It is the end of the old age. It is a time of death. And the body has been set ablaze. This setting, this ablazing of the body epitomizes the existential, the burning condition of material life. We think every morning, Mangalarti, when we come to Mangalarti, we should come every day. So, we sing every morning in the prayers to the spiritual master how the material existence is compared to a burning forest fire. Well, no one wants that the forest fire takes place. Or we could say, no honest person wants that the forest fire takes place. Sometimes some people, they set up the forest fire to make money by later on with a financial speculation with the trees, or they want to use the land for something else, for building, whatever. But generally speaking, no honest person wants that there is a forest fire. But somehow or other, the forest fire takes place. Sometimes it may happen that the reflection of the sun somehow produces with dry leaves, starts a fire. Or someone throws a little something, some smoke or worse, outside and without care throws the final, when he finishes smoking, throws the remnants.
A bat.
A cigarette bat. And then, thank you. And then this creates the forest fire. So, in different ways, the forest fires may take place, even though no one likes it. And then we have to suffer. Sometimes we see when there is a forest fire, the government evacuates certain areas where it takes place. For example, I think it was last summer, there was a huge forest fire in Australia. And many people died, a few hundreds of people died. And many more, probably thousands, they had to evacuate to leave their houses. And it was painful for those people to leave their houses because they are attached to the house. Even if the insurance company will pay for it, still, it was painful. So similarly, when the soul has to leave the body, it is very painful. So death is like one of the most, or perhaps the most intense expression of the forest fire of material existence. That we have to leave this place of attachment, this place of enjoyment. We have our own city. We have become a king of the city. And we are forced to get out of the fire. There is a kind of a legend in Spain. The Muslims, they ruled Spain for about 800 years. And the last, do you use the word bastion? The last bastion of the Muslim kingdom in Spain was the city of Granada, very famous city. Whoever goes to Spain, the tourists, they like to see Granada. The Alhambra, very beautiful Muslim palace. So they go there. So there is one place which is named the place from where the Muslim jump. There is like a cliff, and they call it like that. And they ask why they call it like that, what's happened here. And they say the legend says that the Muslim king was crying after he lost Granada. So he was forced to get out of his kingdom. Like Purandana, we're forced to get out of our kingdom, our body. And then he was crying. And then, this is what they say, I don't want to make it here, but the tradition says, the mother, he was crying, and the mother, the Muslim mother, she was very tough, very strong. And she said, "Do not cry like a woman for what you have not been able to protect like a man." So this is the legend. So I guess then he jumped over the cliff after the mother. At least they don't say, but they can imagine it was like a strong statement. But this is the situation that even if we are very, very strong people, we are forced to get out of our body, whether we like it or not. And we do not know when, we may, for us, old age, for some people, old age means when they are 20 years old, because they have only 1 year to live more. And that's the old age for them. Anyway, when it comes to the time of death, then this Prajwala, it is described in this allegory of Puranjana. Prajwala, he's the elder brother of Yadamaraj, fear, which arises at the time of death. And this Prajwala is the fever, high fever at the time of death. And when the high fever hits the body, none of the limbs of the body function well anymore. Did you experience any time extremely high fever? What's the condition of the body? When you have very, very high fever, it's very difficult to function. And we many times Prabhupada uses the talks about the coma, we enter into a coma. And many times we have dreams, very like nightmares and sweating. It's very bad condition. So this is the condition for the soul. This is the material existence. We are not Krishna conscious. We are not God conscious. Therefore, even though we seem to be alive, we are in a feverish condition of life. Srila Prabhupada uses this analogy in Sri Upanishad. This is the feverish condition, the desire for exploitation of material nature. I am a king, I am the conqueror. This is a nightmare for the soul. It is a feverish condition. And this becomes confirmed at the time of death. We were dreaming, it was not true. We are forced to get up. We cannot do anything about it. We have to go. No matter how much money we have, we may be one of the people of the Bilderberg Club. They are, no, they say, okay, they are, but some people say this, they are the masters of the world. But no matter how wealthy they are, how influential they are, they have to work. We come without anything, we come with nothing to this world, and we live with nothing in the material sense. The only thing that we can take is whatever Krishna consciousness we develop, whatever seva, whatever pure service to God and to the devotees of God we offer, this we can take. This is our natural condition. This is our natural wealth. This is the source of real happiness. And there is a story where we're talking about how someone may be very young and be old because he or she is going to die very soon. And there is an Harishwari Prabhu in his Transcendental Diary in Volume 5 describes a very nice Srila Prabhupada's instruction given to a disciple who was very fearful because she was going to die. She was less than 20 years old and she had leukemia. You can imagine at your age, whatever is your age, that suddenly you're diagnosed leukemia and you're going to die within 1 year. And you have gone to Vrindavan to quit your body. But you do not feel ready to do it. You were expecting to have more time to prepare yourself to become fully Krishna conscious. So this was more or less the situation. And I will read because it's very nicely explained, and then perhaps we can discuss a little further. Harishwari Prabhu writes, another recent arrival, this was sometime around the 1976 or so, approximately. Another recent arrival has been a mother and daughter, Antar Diana Dasi and Manisha Dasi. Manisha is initiated even though in her early teens, but she is terminally ill with leukemia. Having given up any hope of a cure, they have come here so that Manisha can leave her body in the Holy Land. They requested a darshan with Srila Prabhupada, and he received them this morning, just before his massage. When they came in, Manisha burst into tears as they explained her condition and prognosis. She is frightened by the prospect of imminent death and is clearly not mentally prepared for it. Despite the girl's weeping, however, and it may be that we are older and we are also not prepared, because our mind may still be the mind of the girl, meaning that we still have some attachments, we still remain longer. We didn't fully realize that we're in the body, and naturally we have an existential fear for that. Despite the girl's weeping, however, Srila Prabhupada was firm and spoke rather strongly, focusing in on the reality of her condition. Rather than offering sympathies with some sentimental body-based words of solace, Srila Prabhupada cut through the fear and doubt shrouding his disciples' mind and intelligence and met the problem head-on. And no Prabhupada speaks. "Everyone is going to die," he said. "Who is going to live? Who is here? Can you show me anyone who is going to live? Can you show me?" And Tatiana shook her head. She was shocked, but she shook the head. Antonella shook her head. She didn't say anything. No problem, continues speaking. "No, everybody is going to die. So today or tomorrow, everyone will die. Here first. So where is the anxiety? Die or not die? Tomorrow or today?" Some days ago we were discussing about the blessings of the sage and how the devotee, you may, the blessing for the Vaishnava was, you may die or you may live. What's the problem? For a devotee, if you are alive, you serve Krishna. If you die, you continue serving Krishna. What's the problem? Die or not die, tomorrow or today, but one should chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Why one should be depressed and everyone is going to die? I am going to die tomorrow. He is going to die day after tomorrow. Everyone will have to die. Who will live here? So what is the anxiety? Chant Hare Krishna. That's all. Jagadish told Srila Prabhupada that she had come to die in Vrindavan. "Nobody will live," Prabhupada repeated. "Don't be in anxiety, that's all. Anyone who has come to this material world will die. One is going to die today, another is going to die tomorrow. It is a question of first and second, but everyone will die. So before death, One should be complete in Krishna consciousness. So that's the point. Srila Prabhupada is hammering on the point. Just become complete in Krishna consciousness. Then Hare Krishna. Then, before or after, that's not an issue. That will happen. Just focus on Krishna consciousness. So before death, one should be complete in Krishna consciousness. That is success of life. The tree is standing for thousands of years. So what is the use of living like that? A tree cannot chant Hare Krishna but lives for thousands of years. Do you think that kind of living is very worthy? Standing in one place, cannot even move, and what to speak of chanting? So you have got the chance to chant Hare Krishna. Utilize that. Don't be anxious that I'm going to die. Who is going to live? Why don't you understand that? Nobody is going to live. So before death, one should be complete in Krishna consciousness. That is success. Again, the same point. One should be complete in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's direct and practical words helped Manisha focus. She stopped sobbing and regained her composure. But still she had a fear. But if one is not Srila Prabhupada, what will happen? Prabhupada didn't quite understand her query, and I repeated it. If one is not complete in their Krishna consciousness, then what will happen? She will get again birth in a human body, he assured her. That is guaranteed, so that he will get again chance of chanting. That is also great gain. Ordinary person, he does not know what body he is going to get next body. But a person who is in Krishna consciousness, chanting, he is guaranteed, Shuchinam Srimatam Lehe, he is guaranteed to take birth as human being in a very sacred family, like Brahmana, a very rich family. Because he had other commitments, Prabhupada had to end the darshan at that point. So I have to go. Despite the meeting being so short, however, Manisha was visibly relieved and thankful. His words had struck home. This is the power of the Mahabharata. He speaks like that very strongly and touches directly the heart of the person who listens, the disciple. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, she said. Hare Krishna, nobody is going to live here. Prabhupada told her again as he rose from his seat. Everyone is going to die. Before death, chant Hare Krishna. With a compassionate smile of reassurance to his young disciple, he added, don't be worried. Hare Krishna Bhagavad Gita also, Mashuchaha, do not worry. Manisha's mother, though, still saw some further comfort. She is worried, Prabhupada wrote. What is the worry, Prabhupada interjected? I have already said, everyone is going to die. And Tatiana managed to be very specific. She is worried about seeing the Yamadutas. This is what she is worried about. You can imagine a 13 or 14 year old girl. She read about the Yamadutas, so that was kind of a fear. Prabhupada addressed Manisha directly and repeated the practical formula for overcoming death. Chant Hare Krishna, always think of Krishna, that's all. This is our business, Prabhupada concluded. The cats and dogs cannot do this. That is the advantage of the human form of God. Both the mother and daughter were grateful and happy to get a few words of encouragement and guidance. Manisha left feeling heartened by her first personal meeting with her spiritual master, and the two of them will reside in the guest house until her departure. Any comments or questions about today's topic? Any fears?
But we related that when Parikshit Maharaj is wondering what is to be done for a person who is about to die, and then what is the question? The question is, who is about to die? So everyone is about to die. So you know, like, what is the duty of such a person?
Yes, Parikshit Maharaj asked the question not only for himself, he's playing the role of he who is about to die. He is also a king who is forced to leave his kingdom. But as opposed to Puranjana, he's a wise king, he's a Rajarshi, he's a saintly king. And he knows how to leave his kingdom. And therefore he's asking the question to the sages. What is the duty? What one should hear? What one should glorify? What one should, whom should one remember? Whom should he worship? And what he should not do also? And then the whole recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to the question. The answer is, just chant Hare Krishna, that's the process. Etan nirvidyamananam ikshatam akutovayam yoginam naripanirnitam harimanam mukirtanam. Shukadeva Goswami answers that the fearless process, and this is related to today's topic, there is fear. The fear when the high fever hits the body, we experience fear that we're going to be forced to leave the body. Of course, devotees, they feel protected. That's the great mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And even if they have high fever, somehow they feel protected. I remember many years ago, I got and my digestion was interrupted by, I think I took a cold shower in the winter after taking a big feast. So that's not a minister of health. I would not recommend this. Especially, it was after, I think 20 minutes after or something. So what's the worst time? So, and then I felt it was fine. But somehow, by the mercy of the devotees, I wasn't feeling fear. I was kind of feeling the devotees were coming and reading and, even though it was a very high fever and very, very ill condition, it was being protected. Any of you have some experience like that? Like having an extreme situation with death where we're dying and feeling peaceful, isn't it? You like to share what was your
experience? Yeah, my experience is like there is a faith from the soul, but it's still to be afraid from the forces of ego, who don't think that we got destroyed. It's like a fight. And sometimes I was thinking, I'm soul, I'm just ego, it's like between. But then when you are able, by the mercy of the Lord, to take more shelter in the soul, then it becomes more peaceful.
Thank you, that's a very important realization. Mother Mandira is sharing, she was in the hospital maybe more than once, yes, and in very severe illness, ill condition, and she said that there is the soul feels peace, like the condition of the soul is peaceful, but the false ego creates the fear, and when one is able to take shelter of the soul, and the shelter of Krishna, then one feels peaceful and protected. And
what about, because when you leave your body and for the devotees, the Vishnu Guru is from my brother, the previous person, the Yaman, the Guru's family. What about the devotees who are not really finished their kurta, so to say?
In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description. After the Vishnu Dutas stopped the Yamadutas when they wanted to take Ajami had been very sinful, so they wanted to take him. And then the Vishnu Dutas didn't allow them, as if forgetting. He has chanted the holy name of the Lord, you cannot touch this man, get out of here. And then the Yamadutas, they left, and they were totally bewildered. They thought that Yamaraj was the boss, and here some people they didn't know were stronger than them. So they went to ask Yamaraj. And then Yamaraj told them the what souls they should not approach. And those who chant the holy name of the Lord, those who practice devotional service, they will not be touched by the Yamadutas. This is what Yamaraj instructed the Yamadutas. And in Nectar of Devotion, we also find different descriptions from the Skanda Purana, all those who have Kantimala, who Tilak, on their foreheads and so on. They are protected from the influence, from the punishment of the Yamadutas. So we should not be afraid. Krishna will protect us. And even if we have to see some hellish condition of life for our own purification, like we see in Mahabharata, or Maharaj Yudhishthira, he had to see hell somehow or other, being even the personification of Dharma. He had to see hell for a moment. There was a glimpse. Vaishnava commentators say this was due to his hesitation when Krishna told him, you tell a lie. You are too ethical. I mean to ask you to surrender your ethical values for me. Tell a lie. Tell that Ashwatthama is dead. So because he hesitated, he had to see hell for one moment. But even if that will be the will of the Lord, still the Lord always protects his devotees. So we shouldn't feel fearful. We'll be lying. If we see the Yamadutas, we'll be just to say Hare Krishna and then move on. Like, of course, I care sometimes about this. They are a joke. I heard it from Chandramali Swami Maharaj. They tell a story of how we should be very careful in chanting properly, chanting our wrongs properly. We should pronounce the holy names correctly. Like when we say Krishna Rama should be properly pronounced. When we shouldn't chant snikre, because what happened once, one devotee, he passed away, he died, and then suddenly he saw himself in a room, a very dark, gloomy room, and there were two people, dark dress, who were sitting there, a very dim light, and then the devotee looked around, where am I? And then these two people, they say, this is Nick Amre, and we're calling us, here we are. So we should be careful to properly practice devotional service so that we attain our desired destination and to properly pronounce the holy. On that note, we end here. Thank you very much.